The Quran, salamu alaykum, we're recording. The miracle of the Prophet Muhammad is the Quran. What was so miraculous about the Quran in the past? What it is, it was the language art. It is the language art. The way it was composed. Oh, come on now. The way it was composed, it was very artistic in language. So the Arabs knew it's true. Why? Because they, these kind of language or these kind of text, poetry, you know, like they, it's different from the poetry. It's different from everything that they have known. It is so beautiful that the one of them described it, said, Quran, the words of Muhammad, which is Quran, he wasn't a Muslim. He said, the words of Muhammad, go dive down to drink spring water and goes up to pick dates from the palm trees. So when you say, ah, sound, then it goes up. And then you say, sound, it goes down. That's how he loved it. Okay, he loved it. And so, but that's for them. We don't understand. You guys don't understand Arabic. And I understand Arabic, but not like those guys. Those guys were like professionals in Arabic. You know, they hear it, they know it. Now for us, what do? For us it is not the language, it's the science. And for your surprise, guess who started this science? You won't believe it. French, a non-Muslim, Christian French, called Maurice Bocaille. Maurice Bocaille. This Maurice Bocaille examined the Quran and the Bible in the light of modern science. So what he arrived to, he pointed out some scientific errors in the Bible. For example, in the book of Genesis in the Bible, it says that while the day and night were going, Allah created the sun and the moon. What? See, that's the sequence. It says it was God on the water, then God created this, he found it beautiful, then he created this, he liked it, then he created this, and then he created day and night, and then he created sun and moon. It is the scientific miracle here, because it's scientific error here. Can you create day and night without having sun and moon?
No.
Okay, so that's the problem. He pointed it out. Now, Quran, on the other hand, is flawless. Nothing like that at all. So let's move forward. And the first scientific miracle, the mountains, the shape of the mountains. Every single dictionary in the old times defines mountains to be a pile of rock on the surface of the earth, on the earth's surface. They're just pile of rock. That's how it was defined in the old days. Nobody ever knew that the mountain has roots. Mountain has roots on the bottom, see? So what you're seeing of the mountain is one third. The two thirds is down, just like a root. It's like a tooth, okay? Or like a pig, you know the pig for the tent? The pigs for the tent, you know? Yes, they have a part which is buried. And that's the shape of it. That miracle is about the shape, because nobody knew that the ground under the mountain has roots for the mountain, and it's shaped like pigs. Do you remind this? Do you have the ayat that reminds you? It's a lot of ayat that says that, and the mountains as pigs, and the mountains as pigs. Now, the role of the mountain, what's the function of the mountain? Is it just something out there for no reason? It has a function. Nobody knew this function. The function is to stabilize the earth crust. If we say this is the earth crust, it is floating. Floating over what? Lava, right? Magma, lava. Very buoyant. Is it stable? So the earth's surface should be like what? Yeah, just like you put a paper on the top of the swimming pool. It just keeps flowing around like this. So Allah created the mountain. What happens when you push on the earth crust? What happens from the bottom? The lava is pushing it up, right? Or the earth mantle or whatever is pushing it up. So the mountain is pushing down, the lava is pushing up. Look at my hands. When I push down and up, so what am I doing here? I'm holding it, yes. Look, I'm holding it. Okay? So that's the function of the mountain. That's the function of the mountain. It is applying force from the bottom, from the top, to be met by forces from the bottom. Both of them will keep the earth crust. Okay, so now in the Quran, in 9 places, it's not a coincidence, in 9 different places, Allah defined, Allah informed us about the shape of the mountains and the role of the mountain. See, 9 different places. And you see how it's supposed to, convections, phenomena supposed to shake it, and then the subduction zones here. Okay, so now where is that mentioned in the Quran? In 9 different places. We placed firmly embedded mountains on the earth so that it would not move under them. And this is the Quran 2:21-31. And he has set up on the earth mountains standing firm, otherwise it should shake with you, and rivers and roads and blah, blah, blah. This is mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different places talk about the shape of the mountain, the role of the mountain. Where did the Prophet, Professor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, got it from? A man who doesn't know how to read or write, where does he get this stuff from? You know, if he fabricated the Quran, where did he come up with this information from? Not only that, but why did he put it there? He's trying to impress who? Who was the population at the time of the Prophet? The Arabs? Would that impress the Arabs? They are just like, you know, Bedouins there. I mean, they are not, they don't have books at all. And this thing probably will, if they think about it deeply, will confuse them. Because they won't understand that. We understand it. They don't. So if Prophet Muhammad knew this, he would never put it in the Quran. Why? Because there was nobody who's going to respond to that at this time. Europe was in the Middle Evils ages, and the Muslim and the Arabs, nobody cares about science. Now we care about science, scientific revolution. Back there, science was useless. No, I mean, people didn't care about science. So if he would put this text in the Quran, he's trying to appeal to who?
Us.
He's trying to appeal to us. It's not when Allah puts this text in the Quran, not Prophet Muhammad. When Allah put this text in the Quran, he knew about us. He knew about the scientific revolution. So he put it there. Tectonic plates. You guys know about tectonic plates?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maham, can you say it?
Basically like stabilizing. Like there are many, and it basically stabilizes the earth, and they cause earthquakes when they collide with one another. In this particular area of the United States, you get a lot of earthquakes because there are 2 tectonic plates that meet, and that's why we get.
Yeah, San Andreas Fault.
They're basically like the crust is just divided into parts.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the answer I was looking for. You're right, but this is the answer I'm looking for. That the earth is divided into plates, okay? These plates move against each other, right? So when they move against each other, they create subduction zones. Subduction zones. Here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, 2 places. Don't they see that we gradually reduce the land from its outlying boundaries? Don't they see that? Where God commands, there is none to put back his command, etc. But Allah is mentioning that in another ayah, 21:44. Indeed, we gave the good thing of this life to these men and their fathers until the period grew long for them. Don't they see our ability in reducing the land from its outlying boundaries? Professor Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he got it from where? I'm being sarcastic when I say Professor Muhammad. Okay. Oh, am I going to? Oh, the amazing things also like that. What happens when you dive in the ocean? What happens? It gets brighter or darker?
Darker.
How about you dive more?
Darker.
Then it reaches to a level of darkness that it's complete darkness, just black energy or black water. Just no light at all. At all. What happens if you stretch your hand there? You can't see it. Okay? So, in 24 foot, what is it?
You put your hand out, you wouldn't know if a shark was about to eat it.
Sharks don't go that deep, by the way. There are creatures down there in these dark depths of the oceans that we have no idea about. Do you know that? Allah created stuff in this very deep, very, very, very deep places. You don't know anything about. Okay, so what does the ayah say is? The ayah says, or like the darkness of a deep sea, which is covered by waves, above which are waves, above which are clouds. So coming from down to up. Layers of darkness, one upon the other. If he puts out his hand, he cannot see it. If he puts out his hand. That's not known at the time of the Prophet. This wouldn't know. Nobody would know that. Now, this one is really impressive. Really impressive. You know when you put oil in water, what happens? Why don't they mix?
Because their density is different.
Different densities, maybe different temperatures, different properties. So there will be a surface between them. How about instead of bringing oil, we bring two kinds of water? One has a little bit of oil and the other not one bit. One has salt, one doesn't have salt. Do they mix?
Yeah.
Dina and Maham. Okay, Maham. You watched that before. Where is Dina? You? Did you watch this before?
Yeah, I watched.
No, this is for the kids who qualified for the Jeopardy organization. You guys made it good.
Okay.
You need to make the part with consistency.
So, now, if you have a water that has salt and water that doesn't, do they mix?
No.
Yeah, they might mix. However, look at this here. The ocean, the water of the ocean, has different temperature, different salt kind and different salt concentration, different marine life. And this is the Indian Ocean. It's different everything. So they are different from each other, different in temperature, different in salt, different than a lot of things. Now, when they meet, you have a surface between them that they don't mix, right? The surface between the two bodies of water don't mix. And that's what happens here. When you look at the satellite, you can see that there is sort of a barrier, like the barrier between oil and water, that prevents the Red Sea water from coming into the Indian Ocean, and the Indian Ocean prevents them from coming into the Red Sea. Now, how did they figure out this? There was a research ship going on in the 1970s, and they were studying marines and marine lives and things like that. So they were sailing, taking samples.
Safa,
did you watch this before?
No.
Sorry?
Okay.
In just a few minutes. Okay.
Few minutes? Okay. So, look at me here. They take samples here. And then they move and take samples. And then they cross the boundary without them knowing. And they take a sample. And they were shocked. The samples changed like 180 degrees. Different temperature, different salt concentration, different everything. They said, our equipment must have failed. Our equipment must have failed. So they went back and they took samples here. It's the same they got before, no changes. So they came back here again. It's different. So they kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until they were able to find the surface. And they took a sample from both sides. So this is the barrier. They kept going back and forth, back and forth, until they reached to the barrier here. They took sample A, sample B from both sides, and they were different. So they published. The publication is there. Now, look what Allah said in the Quran. It's, you can see it on the satellite, really, or Google Earth, but you don't really can't see it when you're there. Yeah, that's the surface. It's just like the surface between oil and water. It's not a membrane. It's not like there is a dam there or something. Yes. This is Red Sea, and this is Indian Ocean. Yeah, here, different colors. You can see. So, three places in the Quran, he let loose the two seas converging together with a barrier. With a what? Barrier between them. They do not break through. One verse. Second verse. He who have let free the two bodies of flowing water. One billable and sweet, which is the rivers. Another salt and bitter, which is the ocean. Yet has he made a barrier between them, a partition that's forbidden to be passed. So the salt water of the sea cannot travel into the river. Cannot, because there is a barrier between both bodies of water, which is the barrier, physical barrier. It's not a physical barrier, it's like, okay, good. And then the third verse. You won't believe the third verse. It says, who has made the earth firm to live in, made rivers in it, set mountain to supply it. Remember? Mountain roads. And made a separating barrier between the two bodies of flowing water. Can there be another God besides Allah? No. But they know not. So that's another miracle. Another one. What happens when you fly out? Breathing gets easier or harder?
Harder.
Why?
Because there's less air.
Less oxygen, that's right. So, did anybody knew that at that time? I don't think anybody tried to fly. So, says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and those whom God wants to keep astray, He makes their breast close and constricted as if they had to climb up to the skies. So it's a metaphor, but it's correct. That if you fly up to the skies, but, like, you can't breathe. Really, you can't breathe. It's very difficult to breathe. When I saw this person, I prepared this presentation myself. When I prepared it and looked at it, I cried so much and started taking Islam seriously. I wasn't taking Islam seriously before that. But when I saw this presentation, when I prepared it and looked at it, I cried. Because I started taking Islam seriously, because that leaves no room. No room for any kind of doubt. It's gone. Gone. And it shakes you that Allah is true, the Quran is true. It's not that we are having blind faith or like we have no evidence. No, we do. Marine barrier in the Quran? Yes, we did that. Okay, about the brain. Do you know that wicked thoughts are coming from the brain? You know, coming from where? From what? Yes, why is that? I mean, they built sensors in the brain and asked maybe two girls to to slander each other or like to gossip about somebody else or cause two boys to think of evil things. All evil thoughts are coming from where?
Front loop.
Front loop. So they put sensors and they found out that only the front loop is the active. All right? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we indeed know, indeed, if he doesn't stop, we will grab him by the forelock, a lying, sinful forelock. You know which surah is that? No, Surah Al-Alaq. كلا لئن لم ينتهي لنسفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطئة. Good try. It's better than not trying at all. The gender of the baby. Who determines the gender of the baby? For generations, they thought that the woman is responsible of determining the gender of the baby. They thought that. They thought that. You believe it? And the guy will divorce his wife and marry another one, and he still get girls. So he blames his first wife. Now he blames the second wife. Then what else? I mean, it doesn't matter how many times. It's because of the man. The gender is determined by the man. How? There are chromosomes, right? The chromosomes that come from the female is always X. Which one determines the gender of the baby? The Y. That's right. If it's Y, then it's a male. If it's X, if it's a Y, then it's a male. If it's XX or X, it's a female. Who determines that? The man. So the man, since sperms have only Y, have only X, so we will never get boys, we'll get girls. And the other way around. Okay? Or they mix. This time is X, the other time is Y, boy, girl, like that. But the one who determines is the father. And the Quran said that he has created both genders, male and female, from a drop of a sperm which has been ejected. Drop of a sperm that has been ejected. This happens for the male. The male. Sperm is for male, right? Sperm is for male. So sperm coming from the male. Because only males that have a sperm which has been ejected. This happens with male. It doesn't happen with female. The formation of the baby. There was a professor at Canada. His name is... What's his name? He authored the book about that. Is it mentioned here?
More Developing Human, 6th edition, 1998.
Yes. Yeah. He was a professor in Canada, and he examined the stages of the development of the baby, fetus, from the beginning to the end. And he found that very accurate description to what he's seen. Very accurate, word for word, description for description. I'll give you an example, instead of going through all of them. What is this? Isn't that a chewed gum? Chewed gum, right? How about this? So we call him chewed-like structure. Chewed-like structure. That's what the Quran says. Chewed-like structure. So, look here. Here, stage number three. Stage number three. It's what? Chewed-like structure. This is stage number three. I can also tell you about another stage. Leash. The leash-like structure. So that's a leash. And that's what human embryo. It looks like a leash, right? So this is, in the Quran, Allah says chewed-like structure and leash-looking structure. Okay. Now, this one is also beautiful. You know, when the baby is forming inside his mother's womb, or actually when they start doing tube babies, you know how to do tube babies? They bring the liquid from the male, the liquid from the female, and they mix them together to bring a fetus, and then put the fetus, plant the fetus into the mother's womb, okay? And let it grow there. This is called tube babies, right? They found out if they mix the two liquids, okay, in that light, the fetus dies. There will be no fetus. Or if there's a fetus, it will be very deformed. Very deformed. It's really bad. They thought it's a failure until they did this in complete darkness. When they made it in complete darkness, then it passed. And the mixing created a healthy fetus that they were able to plant into the mother's womb. So it has to be what? Darkness. So look at this. Allah created you in the wombs of your mothers. One form of creation after another in three veils of darkness. Three veils of darkness. Can you tell me what are those three veils of darkness?
The abdominal wall, the membrane wall, and the membrane.
Which is placentia, I think. Called placentia?
Placenta.
Placenta. So we have three layers causing darkness. Three layers of darkness. Also, there is something to notice about this, is that these guys, these are like microscopic. You needed a microscope to be able to see that. Where did Prophet Muhammad get a microscope from? And how was he able to see it and this accurately and describe it, such an accurate description? Expanding universe. You know that the universe is expanding with the speed of how many light years per second?
A lot.
It started at 14 billion light years. The width of the universe started with the radius. At the beginning of the creation, which is 14 billion years ago, there's something called atomic division from the radiation of the atom, they can estimate. Probably you'll take it in the geology. So they can make an estimate. So they estimated the life of the universe at 14 billion years. So they estimated, they estimated the life of Earth to 14 billion years. And then they, so the radius of the universe was 14 billion. You know that what do you have at the end of the universe? You get nothing, just dark energy. Not even energy, just darkness. The boundary of the universe is the end of energy and light. So when you are when you pass the boundary, which is you can't, because here there's nothing, darkness and no energy at all. Nothing can survive there. Nothing. Zero. Because it's only dark and no energy, zero energy, no any kind of material. Inside here, we have dark energy. So inside the boundary of the universe, we have something called dark energy. There's no light, but there is a dark energy there. Okay, but there, there's nothing. Nothing. It's the nothingness altogether. Nobody can cross that. But with observation, they found that it expanded. If it was 14 billion years here, then here it becomes 47. So, since the starting of the creation, until today, they found that the estimated, the boundary grew, expanded from 14 billion into 57. Got it? From 14 billion into 67 billion, that's the radius of the universe. Do you understand? You're comprehending that? Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Quran 51:47? Huh? Who can read? Umaham, read.
And it is we who have constructed the heaven with might, and verily it is we who are steadily expanding it.
Expanding it. So that's an expansion. Just like the Big Bang Theory, it says that it's growing, 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 growing. So the density is going down, 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 because you get more dark energy becoming inside. So the dark energy expands. I don't know if you ever heard about the term dark energy. It's these places of the universe where you have no light, but you have a space. No light, but there is a space. A space can't be a space without energy. You understand that? Do you understand that? A space can't be a space without energy. So we call it dark energy. Until the end of the universe, the end of the universe, there's not even a dark energy. You can say there's no existence. There's no existence. That's it. That's the end. That's the boundary. Nobody can cross it because there's no existence. So you have to be self-supported. Okay? You have to be able to support yourself completely without anything. The jinn, they reach that. The jinn, you know the jinn, because the jinn is a body of energy, because the jinn is a body of what? Energy. They travel with the speed of light. They were able to reach to this boundary, but they could not cross it. They couldn't. Why? Because they are not self-supported. They needed stuff to survive. There is absolutely nothing, not even dark energy. You got this part? That story really my favorite. That was my favorite. Okay, about the iron. Okay, you know how atoms combine together to form metals, other matters? It's called, what do you call this?
Elements or molecules.
Molecules, when they combine, the atoms combine together. What is this combination process is called?
Bonding.
It's called what?
Bonding.
Can you spell it?
B-O-N-D-I-N-G.
Yeah, that's, okay. Got it. I know bonding, what you mean by bonding now. So, the atom, to form the iron is the strongest material ever exist, is the iron. There's nothing. No, a diamond is more rough, scratches. You can't scratch diamond. It's very difficult to scratch diamond. But you can easily scratch iron. Just if you have something and you can scratch the iron, but you cannot scratch the diamond. But in terms of strength, steel far exceeds our diamond. So in order to make iron, what happened is that for these two atoms to bond, you need bonding energy. You need energy that puts it together. And this energy would be stored between the atom, inside the atoms. So when you break the atoms apart, what happens? This energy is
released.
And this is how they get the atomic bomb and the nuclear bombs. Why? They were able to split the atoms. So the bonding force is released. And when it is released, it does a lot of destruction. It is so strong. It is so strong, that bonding. That binding, yes, or this
bonding,
this bonding is very strong. So now they wanted to see where the energy required to bond two atoms to produce iron is extremely high, extremely high. Okay? They looked at the energy of the sun. The sun wouldn't even come close, not even 1% of the energy required to bond two atoms to form iron. So they said, where, how? How? The sun was enough for all materials, but the iron is not enough. It's very strong. Okay, it's like something from out of this world, coming from far away. So they analyzed the spectrum of the sun. They found that the sun doesn't have any iron. When you look at the Earth, 95% of the Earth core is iron. And it keeps going down until it reaches 5% where? In the surface, on the crust. Okay? So they were puzzled. Where did this iron come from? Can't be formed in our galaxy. Because we need a lot of power. Then with research, and when they analyzed the spectrum coming from these faraway stars, they found that these stars are billions of times bigger than the Earth and generate billions of times more energy. So that energy was sufficient for binding or bonding the atoms to form iron. Now, if it formed over there, how did it arrive here? Allah sent it, like shooting, like, ooh, shooting, like, it's like this. It's like, imagine somebody is have a ball of iron, and he's aiming towards the earth, and you have to be that accurate. I mean, from 5 million light years or 5 billion light years, travel to come and come to earth and create the iron, and deposit the iron, that was a miracle by itself. Now, did the Quran predict that? Yes. Read. And we have what? So we have sent down iron. So Allah sent down, you know, Allah created everything. I created this, I created that. Allah says we sent down only the rain, the humans, the animals. Only rain, the human animals are sent down. So وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ. That's for the animals. And then he sent Adam down. And then he sent the rain down. Now, everything else Allah said we have created, right? We have created. However, in this situation, he said we have sent down. We have sent it down. Created it up and sent it down. The iron. Okay. That one is also good. Positions of the star. When you look at the sun, are you seeing the actual sun? You see the position of the sun.
8 and 3 quarters.
8.75 minutes late.
So 8 minutes 45 seconds.
Yes, yes. 80 minutes for 45 seconds. 8 minutes 45 seconds. Let's call it 9 minutes. Okay. So you can't see the sun. It's impossible. You have to wait for the light to arrive. With the speed of light, you need about 9 minutes. So that's the position of the sun that we see. We can't see the same side of the sun. The moon is like 2 light seconds or so. So we can see the moon. We actually don't see the moon. We can see the position of the moon a couple of seconds ago. How about the very, very far away stars, billions of light years away from us?
Years.
For billions of light years, they take billions of years to arrive. So the star that you see right there, that star already expired, already exploded, already vanished. But you're looking at what? The star or the position of the star?
Position.
You're looking to the position of the star 14, 15 billion years ago. But the light is still traveling and the star is still providing light. The light, the last light didn't arrive Earth yet. Once the ending light arrives to Earth, then the star disappears from our eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, I swear by what?
The position of the stars.
Positions of the stars. And then in the next ayah, Allah said, it is a magnificent, I swear by the positions of the star, and it is such a magnificent thing that you cannot imagine. It's unbelievably magnificent thing. And he, in another ayah, said, creations of heaven and earth, they are much more sophisticated than the creation of humans. Just imagine all this body and its lungs and function and all of this. Allah said, the creation of heavens and earth is much more sophisticated than the creation of humans. So
does that mean that, like, when the earth and the sun were created, the earth didn't have light until, like, 9 minutes after the sun was created?
Yeah, Or you can say this way, the sun might have been there, and then the earth was made.
But then it would have light right away.
So yeah, exactly. So the light was there anyway.
So then, but then if the sun was created after, then the earth wouldn't have light until like 9 minutes.
If they are created together, which I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that the sun came before to provide energy for bonding, because without bonding, the atoms of the smoke. Allah, by the way, talks about the smoke. Allah says that He has created heavens and earth, and they were in the state of smoke. So combining these atoms in the smoke needs a sun, needs energy from the sun. And you know how the plants feed? They take energy from the sun and use it to what? To combine atoms of the food, okay? And then when they need energy, what happens?
They take
them apart, so they retrieve back what? The energy. You understand? That's how food works. The food has energy stored between each its atoms. When you eat it and get digested, these
atoms
break apart. What energy you get? The energy, the bonding energy. Got it? This is how...
Wait, so atomic bombs, they work like atoms that take a lot of energy to stay together, those are the ones that get taken apart.
Yes, but the only way to take apart two atoms is for nuclear, it's not like, for radioactive material.
So like titanium?
Uranium, whatever, titanium. Those are the ones you can break the atom apart. You cannot do that with any just atom like that. Okay? So it has to be kind of unstable. And then the uranium has to be purified. So purifying or enriching, called enriching uranium, you have to get rid of all these materials inside. And you reach with the uranium in such a pure state that in a fraction of a second, you can cause the atoms of the uranium to split. Once they split, the energy comes out, and you know what the energy does to this. It turns people into ashes, it turns sand into glasses. Just like a bomb of World War I. When it landed, it turned the sand into glass, and it turned everybody into ashes for a radius of blah blah, 50 miles or something like that. And then the rest of the people had sort of radioactive air, radioactive environment. It was humans, when they put their hands into killing technology, this is how they use it.
The people who were filming the bomb, they thought they were far enough, but it turns out they all got cancer from it.
Yeah. Radiation, when the radiation is released into the environment, it causes a disaster. Mm-hmm. I worked into designing nuclear power plants. I worked like 4 or 5 years in 5 years in this area, actually 6 years in this area. And in order for us to contain the radiation, we build walls. The thickness of the wall itself is about 10 feet. So the thickness of the wall is from here to here. Solid concrete. Why? To protect from the radiation. And the reactor, where the diffusion happens, which is the split of the atom happens, there's a the reactor is covered by containers, two containers. If one fails, the other one kicks in. And we make sure that doesn't explode or doesn't melt.
So
like a Chernobyl reactor, it melted.
Were you exposed to radiation?
For me, I was in the office designing. The ones who built it, they build it in such a way, after it's built, they need only robots. So it's all robotic, becomes all robotic. If something went bad, I don't know what they do. I think they bring, yeah. Right. So the radiation doesn't hurt that person. And then after this person does it once, they keep him away from radiation after that.
Yeah.
So they don't expose him to another time. No, just once. Then bring another person. So position of the stars, what's end? The sun has its own light. The moon reflects the light, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has made the moon as a light, the sun as a lamp. in two different locations, three different locations. Sun has its own light, so it's a lamp. Moon has light because it's being lighted by the, gets light from the sun. Okay? And do we have anything else? Yes, there's further research. It's endless, endless research. For example, about the hadith of the Prophet. He said, if a fly falls into your cup, what do?
You stick it in more.
Exactly. The Prophet said, push it down and then take it away. He said, because one wing has the disease, the other wing has the cure. Yes, that's what he said. He said, one wing of the fly has the disease and the other wing has the cure. So he said, if it falls down,
deeper than the other wing.
Yes, push it down into the liquid and then take it out and throw it. Because now it's neutral. Those both neutralize each other. This, they found that to be true. You know? And there's a lot of miracles about that. For example, the flies in the Quran, Allah mentioned that if the fly takes away from your food, you can't get it back. Allah says, you're so miserable. You're so miserable. If the fly takes away your food, you can get it back. They found out scientifically that the fly digests the food outside and then eats it. So if the food is digested outside and we you know, push away the fly, we cannot take this food and put it back together to become in the original form. No. It dissolves. That's it. Good luck. I mean, it's gone. It's gone completely. You see, all of these facts will leave no room. No room to any doubts. However, it's not the people who don't believe in Allah, and don't believe in Islam, they will reject this by heart. They will say whatever. You know, it says whatever. I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm going to stay that way. I don't want to convert to those barbarian terrorists or whatever it is. Okay? Salaam alaikum. Yes, it's the same.
No, but the thing is, they should,
Thank you.